child of weakness to watch and pray. Thank you, Jesus. in Him complete. Jesus died. The blood of the Lamb. That's why I know that Jesus. Come on. Nothing but sin. Sin. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad. I know you washed. You washed it white as snow. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. We bless your name this day for the blood of Jesus Christ. That life-giving flow that washes away our sins. We thank you, our God, that we are made righteous and justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Bless now the people of God as we wait to hear from heaven. We come just as we are, wretched creatures that we are. But we thank you for that fountain from whence the healing waters flow. Forgive me for my sins. Create within me a clean heart. Renew the right spirit. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. In the name of Christ we pray. People of God who love God, said amen. Apostle Peter, in his second letter to the church, that third chapter, verses 8 through 14, serves as the basis for the message for the morning. Listen to these words. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But that all should come to repentance. But that all should come to repentance. You may be seated in the kingdom, in the house of our Lord. ...1970... was a great year in the life of, in my life. March the 28th, I married a preacher's daughter, an intellectual on campus, a woman with great integrity and high morals. When I tried to date her for 3 years, she would tell me, as Nehemiah said to Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, I'm too busy to come down. 1970, June, May, Mother's Day, I graduated from the Presbyterian School of Christian Education with a master's in applied Christianity, meaning that I found new ways to do ministry, skating and teaching kids how to skate and how to go under a parachute, making games out of nothing. In May, I received word that a friend from elementary school, high school, and college had graduated from college, and the wedding was set for the 1st of June. I did not receive an invitation to the wedding. Was I hurt? Was I disappointed? Yes. We had been through a lot of things. We had come through the projects, the Rose Terrace projects, had entered high school. And he, graduating from high school with honors, and I was just honored to graduate. Y'all kissed it on the way home. Went to college. He majored in biology. Went off to medical school, I to seminary. Graduated from seminary, and he from medical school, me with a master's in Christian education. But I didn't get an invitation to his wedding. After his marriage, after his wedding ceremony, I called him and said, "Why didn't I get an invitation to your wedding? All the struggles and all the things we'd been through. You knowing me from the third grade all the way through college and graduate school. I thought I was one of your main buddies. I thought I was one of your dogs. Maybe that's why I didn't get an invitation." I said to him, What was it? Why?" And guess what he said? He said, "She didn't know you, and she made out the invitation list. And your name was left off." And I said, "Why didn't you step up and say, 'I have a friend that I'd like to come to the wedding'?" He said, "She didn't know you." Peter writes this letter to the church that they may be known of God, that they may receive the invitation to come to the party the Lamb gives. Peter had some struggles in his life. He's called the big fisherman because he was in stature the largest of the disciples. He was called the big fisherman because he was in the business, the fishing business, with James and John, the two sons of Zebedee. You remember them, don't you? It's that mother who said to Jesus, "Lord, when you come into your kingdom, I would that one of my sons would sit on the right hand and the other on the left hand." And Jesus said to her, "The seats in the kingdom are already whole. They're already spoken for. It's not mine to give the seats in the kingdom. It is Peter who speaks to Jesus, following him, watching him in his ministry of fulfilling the words of the prophet, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me." Oh, yeah. He's there to hear Jesus speak the words of the beatitude, "Blessed are the hungry, for they shall be fed. Blessed are those who thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are you when men shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Peter heard all of this. He is the one that speaks up and says, when Jesus asked, "To whom do men say that I am, and who do you say that I am?" He said, "Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God." And I like what Jesus said to him, "Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed that unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And thus I say unto you, that thou art Peter, a man of faith, a man of great stature, a man of great intellect. Upon your confession of faith, I build my church." I'm going somewhere with this. It was Peter, when Jesus was washing feet, June Thomas, he said, "Look, you can't wash my feet. You would not lower yourself to that of a servant to wash my feet." Jesus said to him, "Look, if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part of me." not only my feet, Lord, but my head, my whole body. And Jesus says to him, look, he that has washed does not need another washing. It is your feet that have come through the dust. It is your feet that the sanders have permitted dirt to play a symphony through your toes. It's your feet that need washing. And Peter said, okay, Lord, not only my feet, but all of me. It is Peter. And Jesus said, fellas, I have to leave you. I go back to my Father. I go back to heaven. I'm going back from whence I've come. My mission will soon be completed. I will hang on a cross and die on a Roman's cross and descend into hell and preach to the saints in prison and then ascend to heaven, becoming the first astronaut by taking the cloud and going back to my Father. It is Peter. He said, Lord, that won't happen to you. Guess what Jesus says to him? Satan, I've been following you. I've been doing what you asked me to do. I have proclaimed your word. I have done all. And you call me Satan. I sing in your choir. I serve as an usher. I gave leadership as a deacon. And you said, depart from me. For I know you're not. Peter said it won't happen. And then he said, you'll deny me three times. Before the rooster cock crow in the morning, you would have denied me three times. And Peter did. He did just like some of us do. When trouble comes, when the winds of pain and grief, when we lose our job, when God takes a loved one, we deny him three times. And then when the maiden, when the young lady said, you one of the disciples, I can tell by your voice. Matter of fact, I saw you when he gave sight to the blind. You were there. When he made the lame to walk, you were there. Peter said, I don't know him. And then he got a little colored on us. I can hear him now saying, get out of my face. I don't know him. But Peter writes these words, and I like what he says about the days. He said, one day in the eyes of God is as a thousand, and a thousand as one day. And then he says to us in the text, listen. I want you to hear this real clearly. He says, everyone is welcome. Everyone has the invitation to come to Christ, regardless of their educational background, regardless of their profession, they are welcome to come to Christ. I go to my seat by sharing with you at least three things. Everyone is welcome to come. First of all, in order to come, you must have a right attitude. The attitude is essential, and that is an attitude of faith and prayer. Have faith and doubt not. Come in a spirit of prayer. And all things, whatsoever you ask, will be given to you. Come with an attitude of prayer, an attitude of thanksgiving, an attitude that whatever I need, God can and God will provide. There will be somebody here willing to say, yes, Lord, I know whatever I need, whatever I want, you have the power to provide it for me. Listen to what he says in Matthew chapter 21, 18 through 22. Have faith and doubt not. Come in a spirit of prayer and all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Songwriter writes, I may have doubts and fears. My eyes be filled with tears. But Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer. He knows my every care. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it all right. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it all right. Every one of us have prayed a little prayer. If anybody ever pulled out in front of you while you were driving and you did not give them the howdy sign, but you said, Lord, have mercy. Y'all catch it in a minute. Has anybody ever blessed you and you said, thank you, Jesus? That's just a little prayer, making everything all right. Can I help somebody here? It was the Reverend Dr. Caesar Clark in a revival in Shreveport, Louisiana, talking about prayer. And he said, if you pray often, you won't have so much to tell Jesus at one time. Y'all missed that. If you talk to God often, and it doesn't matter about the posture in which you pray. Some people can't get on their knees to pray, but they can lay on their bed and thank God for the day's work and for blessing them and keeping their children safe. Some people don't get on their knees. It's not because they don't humble themselves. We humble ourselves by having the right attitude about the goodness of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God. And so a little prayer makes everything all right. Secondly, one promise that Christ makes to all who comes is found in Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. All of us need rest. The other day, I went to a funeral. A member had called and told me about a friend that had passed, and we served together in the military. And so I went to the funeral, and after the funeral, I'm walking around shaking hands. And the widow said to me, Reverend, you sure look tired. I said, oh, Lord, here we go. She said, you need some rest. Now, her husband is being put in the grave, and she looks at a person that has been laboring for the Lord for almost 60 years. And she says, you need some rest. I'm glad she didn't say, boy, you need eternal rest. Can you look at a person and tell when God gives them rest? I'm not talking about when they die. I'm talking about the joy that's in their heart, the peace that's in their heart, the understanding that God is a way maker and that God will bring everything all out all right. That's when God says, come unto me, all ye who labor, and I will give you rest. Wish I had time to talk about rest. David helps us to understand rest by saying, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He invites us to come. Not those who have, but those who have not. I'm almost finished here. You remember the Pharisees were chastising Jesus because he was eating, dining, and drinking with sinners. And they said to him, why are you eating and drinking and dining with sinners? And Jesus said to them, a physician does not attend to those who are not sick, but to those who are sick. And I don't know how you feel about it, but every now and then, I need to know that there's a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. That the God that I serve sees my problems and offers me rest. Rest is joy. Rest is peace. I'm not talking about the absence of war and the absence of confusion. I'm talking about the shalom peace, the peace that he gives that the world cannot give. Has anybody ever questioned you about why are you so happy? Why are you so joyful? You just lost your job and you're walking around in church singing praise God from whom all blessings flow. Why are you so happy? I'm happy and I'm understanding that God is in this business. It's the business of peace. Listen to what he says. Those whom I've called. And I've called them to rest. Finally, every welcome that Jesus offers to us is a welcome to come to the new heaven. Whew. I think that's powerful. That Jesus invites us to come to a new heaven. John the Revelator said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, that the old was passed away. And now I see a new heaven and a new earth. Several weeks ago, I was invited to a housewarming. I didn't say to bless the house, but to a housewarming. Deacon Jackson, when I got there, there was a table for the gifts. Y'all missed that. The housewarming was an invitation to bring a gift. Being ignorant of housewarming, I didn't go in with a gift. So the person that met me at the door asked me if I had left the gift in the car, or was it a monetary gift? I didn't have any money to give, and I didn't have a gift in the car. Guess what? When Jesus invites us to come, he says, come without money. Come and drink of the fountain freely. It's a new day. He's not asking us to bring any material gift. He's asking us to bring ourselves. That's why the songwriter writes, just as I am, I come. You don't have to bring any money. You don't have to bring any material gifts. Just bring your soul. The psalmist says, my soul panteth, my soul longeth for you. And when you come to his house, he is the one that's giving gifts. Oh, I wish I had somebody here. He is the one that's giving gifts. He gives us joy. He gives us peace. He gives us honor. It's an honor precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I wish I had somebody who understands that when you come to Jesus, you don't have to bring anything but yourself. He tells us when you come to worship me, bring all the tithes and offerings. He tells us to do that. He tells us to give and it shall be given unto you. But when we come with our lives, he only wants our soul. He only wants our soul to live eternally with him. Paul says, to live with Christ is gain. I didn't get invited to the wedding. I was heard about it. I called to inquire why I was not invited. But can I tell you something? I'm invited to a feast. I'm invited to a new heaven. I'm invited to where Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. I'm invited to live eternally with him. I am invited to a new house. This old house will perish. This old house will fall. But thanks be to God, I'm invited to live in a new house. A house not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens. Is there anybody here that want to go to the new house? I'm talking about a house that when you look out, you see the glory of God. I'm talking about a house where the name of Jesus is praised every day. I'm talking about a new building. I feel my help coming here. I'm talking about a place where there is no confusion. A place where there's no argument about what song we're going to sing. I'm talking about a place where ushers don't walk mad and give out bulletins. I'm talking about a place where Jesus Christ reigns forever, 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 and forever. Go ahead, say what you want to say about me. But I got a new home over in glory. And all folks, you say, it's mine. It's mine, all mine. Just because he said, come, hungry, thirsty, come without clothes, come. Songwriter said, come to Jesus. He will save you just now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have the right attitude. Attitude of prayer. And know that you may not get invited to the wedding. I missed the wedding. I missed the graduation. But I be if I miss heaven. I'm on my way. Time is swiftly passing. I looked in the mirror there. I close when I share this with you. Preacher from the Bahamas came into the office and he looked, and there are three pictures of me in the office. One is my high school picture. Can I tell you something? I really look good. And the other one is picture of me in 1968 when I was commissioned as a second lieutenant. And I really look good in that one. And then there's the one when I was 49 years old. All of them, I had jet black hair. He asked me, "What happened to you, man?" I said, "When you labor for the Lord, nature colors your hair." Hello? How many of you seen old preachers, 76 years old, with jet black hair that they didn't dye? Y'all missed that. I told him, I said, "Man, it's the labor of love that paints a new picture." He laughed and he said, "I thought you were younger, so I was going to invite you to Bahamas to preach." Y'all missed it. I missed the invitation because I didn't look young enough. But guess what? I'm not going to miss the invitation to heaven. For he says, "Come, just as you are." Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, "Neighbor, Max Factor doesn't have to help me." Y'all missed it. I got something that the devil cannot touch. This morning, I told 8 o'clock service, I'm like Hammer. You can't touch this. You can't touch this soul. It belongs to God. Hallelujah. I didn't get the invitation to go to the Bahamas because my hair is not black. And I asked him, I said, "Man, how old are you?" He said, "Oh, man, I'm 73 years old." His hair was black as 100 midnights. What'd you say? He dyed it. I'm not messing with anybody. I'm just telling you, you can come just as you are. Max Factor, whatever. Just come on to Christ. He waits your coming. He awaits your coming. He awaits, deacons come. He awaits your coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. All right, choir. Thank you.
Let's take it.